Thank you, Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so let's do those last two lines. And not only this did instituting the Most Holy Sacrament, but all the acts that I, Jesus, did during the course of my life, by virtue of the one will by which we were animated, whatever I did, my mother did as well. So everything that Jesus has done, Our Lady has done, and it's always the new Adam and the new Eve. Okay, so volume 33, 721, 1935. In addition to this, there is my long waiting in the sacrament of my love. I wait for everyone, Jesus says. I reach the point of counting the minutes, but no, in vain do I wait for many. So Jesus is showing us that why he is in the Blessed Sacrament is to wait for us. And he says this: others come with such icy coldness to increase the harsh martyrdom of my waiting to the utmost degree. Few are those who are waiting for me as I was waiting for them. Not only with these do I feel relieved, I feel as though repatriated into their hearts. So what's happening is they're beginning this new life with Jesus that is really the oldest life. It's the life that Adam had. And I give vent to my love and finding a refreshment to the harsh martyrdom of my continuous waiting. To some, it may seem that this pain is nothing, while this pain is the greatest. It constitutes the hardest of martyrdoms. So here Jesus is showing us the greatest suffering that he has today is waiting for souls to be with him in the Blessed Sacrament. And this is why I really truly believe this is why Pope St. John Paul II asked that every parish have Eucharistic adoration, not just for a day or for an hour, but it's almost like a perpetual adoration that he was asking. He says, if you don't fall in love with our Eucharistic Lord, he says, how can you receive him worthily? How can you know who he is and want him to reign in us? And that's what Jesus is telling us with Luisa, but even more so. So he says in volume 33, 11, 4, 1935, my abandonment in the divine volition continues. This is Luisa. And the more I walk in its sea, the more I feel the need of its life in order to continue to live. Having received Holy Communion, Luisa says, I felt the need to love Jesus, but my poor nothing did not have sufficient love in order to love he who so much loves me. And my sweet Jesus, encouraging me, told me, my blessed daughter, do not lose heart. One who lives in my divine will keeps her nothing, her nothingness within the all. And wanting to love me, she loves me with my own love. So here, this nothingness is what you're going to experience in the divine will. You're going to experience your life as small as an atom, but at the same time will fill a basilica. Jesus wants us to know that we are nothing. He is everything. And it's not going around how bad we are. It's how great he is, how magnificent he is, how loving he is. Our desire is to want to be with our triune God. Want to be with Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, praising the Father. He says, but not this is not all. The soul who lives in my divine will possesses your Jesus in a perennial way. Possesses God in a perennial way. Because my divine will has the virtue of forming, raising, and feeding my life in the soul. So here Jesus is saying, when you enter into the divine will, what you're going to experience is something that the saints now know in heaven, but didn't know on earth. He says, when you live in the divine will, this is what God is calling us to. You possess your Jesus in a perennial way because my divine will has the virtue of forming, raising, and feeding my life in the soul. So our God is asking us to allow him to lead us, as John Paul II says, so Pope St. John Paul II said, to enter a new and divine way of holiness. You experience every day this divine I love you. When you're listening to Jesus teach us his lessons, he teaches us these manifestations, these truths, these knowledges, these this life, this light, this love as he speaks. That's Jesus. When he speaks, he says, every word that I speak is a divine life. And we begin on earth experiencing what the saints possess in heaven. That's what you will experience this. He says, because my divine will has the virtue of forming, raising, and feeding my life in the soul as she receives me in the sacrament, I, Jesus, find another Jesus. That is, I find myself. I find myself loving me. I find myself adoring me. I find myself thanking me and repairing me. So what's happening at this point is it's the love of Jesus that's reigning in us. He's beginning. We are beginning to embrace this gift of the divine will to the point that if the saints were envious, they would be envying us. I can say that I repeat the great miracle I did in instituting the sacrament of the Eucharist when I communicated myself. That is, your Jesus receives Jesus. So when we receive Holy Communion, the first thing we say is, I want to receive you, Jesus, as you received yourself. In the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. I can say that I repeat the great miracle I did in instituting the sacrament when the soul in the divine will receives me in the sacrament. I receive, that is, your Jesus receives Jesus. Receiving myself was the greatest honor, the greatest satisfaction, most complete, the requital of divine heroism of my love. Nothing I lacked, nothing. I, God, lacked nothing. I lacked nothing. I lacked of everything that was due to me in my sacramental life. Sorry for the stumbling. I do that continuously. Okay, sorry about that. A God matched God himself. And that's what's happening. God is trying to breathe in our breathing. He wants us to match himself with himself in us. That's the great blessing of the divine will. Everything that the saints have taught is to do things in a holy, saintly, human way. Jesus is now teaching us how to do everything in a holy, divine way because he's doing it. Our Lady's doing it. The two, Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, are reigning in the soul who lives in the divine will. That's first of all, Louisa. And then we want this and we're striving for that. I could say that what I gave was given back to me. Now, for the soul who lives in my divine will, it is impossible not to possess her Jesus. Therefore, as she receives me in the Holy Sacrament, I can say, I am, he uses God's name again, I am going to find myself in the soul. And I find that which I want, which is my life, that unifying with her life, forms one single life. This image and likeness is coming back little by little. Again, no one possesses this fully yet. Louisa does because she's the one that was given this gift. We want this, but the only way you can have this is what Jesus keeps on saying, is you must know the truths, know the manifestations, know the secrets, know the treasures, know the gifts of the divine will that Jesus has breathed into Louisa, that she has put down on paper. So the more that we read the Book of Heaven, the closer and closer we're getting to this one day fullness of the divine will, which Jesus said will be the miracle of miracles that's coming to humanity. It's going to happen. And Jesus is looking at us and saying, read, study, put this into practice. The more that you absorb this, what I spoke to Louisa, Jesus says, the more you will be able to live this life. So he says, because this is what he says, I will find that which I want, like my life, unifying with the soul's life. How? By what he has spoken to Louisa, that'll form one single life. The more that we learn and see to the saints were to know, love, and serve God. We are to know, love, and possess God. That's the difference between doing the will of God and living in the will of God. So Jesus says this, I, God, find my royal dwelling in the soul. See, we not only surrender our heart as his throne, but he clothes us in divinity, the garment of divinity, the garment that Adam lost when he did his human will. So Jesus is saying, I want you to give up your human will, basically, so that I can clothe you in divinity. He says this very clearly. I, God, find the love that always loves me. It's his love. I, God, find the requital for the great sacrifice of everything I, God, do and suffer in my sacramental life. My excess of love leads me with an irresistible force to repeat the miracle of receiving myself. See, so as you begin to enter in the divine will, as we begin to recognize the God within, as we begin to embrace this gift, he says, I, God, he says, in my excess of love, leads me with an irresistible force to repeat the miracle of receiving myself in the soul. And I can only do this in the soul in whom my divine will reigns. So that means no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. That's what it means to live in the divine will. Volume 34, 520, 1936. On this day of my ascension, I felt victorious and triumphant. I stayed in the Most Holy Sacrament in order to give myself continuously to my apostles, to the disciples, and for them to give themselves to me, that they might find rest, find refreshment, find the remedy to all their needs. This is why we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We rest in God. And if you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament and fall asleep, don't worry. That's what the first apostles did when he said, will you stay with me 1 hour? When you go on retreat, you'll be sleepy. Why? It's grace. Grace overwhelms you. If you go on a 30-day retreat, you'll sleep for the first 15 days. You're just exhausted. God is going to restore you. He's giving you rest, refreshment, and remedy. If you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament and fall asleep, don't be upset by that. Rest in the Lord. You know, that's what the apostles did. They rested in the Lord when he came. Won't you stay awake? And what God was giving them was rest, refreshment, and remedy for all their needs. They were going to need what was coming when Christ was crucified. Our works do not suffer any mutability. Whatever we, God, do once, we, God, repeat always. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. He says, and I love you. And then we give to him his divine, I love you. Jesus, beat in my heart, beating. He gives us, I love you. We give to God his, I love you. He's teaching us how to repeat always what Jesus has done, what Mary has done, the new Adam and the new Eve. Volume 34, 528, 1937. This is what Our Lady says. Now, this son of mine, Jesus, he is my gift. I, Mary, want everyone to possess my son. But I, Mary, must keep his life safe. The great gift that God entrusted to me. This is why if he descends sacramentally into the hearts, I, Mary, descend together with Jesus for the security of my gift. I cannot leave him alone. So when you receive communion, you receive Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. This is the life that they breathed into Louisa, the new Adam and the new Eve. Poor son of mine, if he did not have his mama who descended together with him, how poorly the souls treat him. Some don't even say to him, I love you. Again, this is what we have to discipline ourselves to say continuously with every heartbeat, every breath. I love you, Jesus. I love you in the divine will. I love you, Jesus. I love you in the divine will. When you go in and when you genuflect, you say to our King, our Master, I love you. You are my King. You're my God. You're my all. I'm on my knees to adore you, to praise you, to love you, to glorify you. Right? This is what Jesus taught Louisa. And now he wants to teach us this as well. He says, some don't even say, I love you from the heart. And I, Mary, must love him in place of those who don't love him. Now you can do the same thing. You can love Jesus for all your family. I love you in the name of everyone and everything. My family, my friends, my neighbors, my coworkers, my parishioners. I love you in the name of all of mankind, past, present, and future. And I want, this is what Jesus teaches Louisa. I want you to hear this divine, I love you from all of humanity with my voice. That's what Jesus says to Louisa. Some receive him in a distracted way without thinking of the great gift that they are receiving. And I, Mary, pour myself upon him so as to not let him feel their distractedness and coldness. Some reach the point of making him cry. I, Mary, must calm his crying and give him the sweet reproach to the creature that she would not make him cry. And we're saying, doing this for our family, our friends, our neighbors. What's happening is a new beginning is happening for all of humanity. How many touching scenes take place in the hearts that receive Jesus sacramentally? See, we're repairing and redoing in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So when you see a tragedy, when you see a sorrow of Jesus and Mary, you say, Lord, thank you for showing this to me. Thank you for making me aware of it. I'm sorry this is happening to you, Lord. And I want to repair this as if this and all sins never happened. This repairing and the redoing is what the little children of the Holy Divine will do. There are souls who never satiated with loving him. And I, Mary, give them my love and even his own love to let them love Jesus. We're getting the love of Mary to love Jesus. We participate in this. These are the scenes of heaven. And the very angels remained enraptured. And we feel restored from the pains that other creatures have given to us, Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. See, it's repairing and redoing. This is the great gift that all humanity is now going to give to God in the divine will. Volume 35, 124, 1938. My flight in the divine volition continues. And while I was making my visit to Jesus and the sacrament, I wanted to embrace all the tabernacles and each sacramental host in order to live together with my prisoner Jesus. Listen to this. Do you see what God is? He's offering this to us. The flight in the divine will. There was an air base north of Corrado. And when she was looking to the north, as the planes came in, they flew right by her window. And she saw these flights of the American forces during World War II. And she used this as part of her prayer. My flight in the divine volition continues. And the other thing too, when in 1994, when the cause opened, there was one B-24 pilot who said, I saw Louisa in the sky. And when we were releasing the bomb, so you didn't land. If your mission wasn't accomplished, you dropped your bombs in the Adriatic. And he's coming over Corrado and there's clouds and he's ready to release the bombs and over Corrado. And Louisa appeared in the sky and said to this pilot, no, you got to go back. And she basically pushed the plane. This is what he says. He witnesses to this, pushes the plane over to the Adriatic and they drop the bombs there. So she saved Corrado. This is one of the miracles that was noted. So getting back to this. So I was making my visit to Jesus in the sacrament and I wanted to embrace all the tabernacles. I want to embrace all the tabernacles of the divine in the divine will. All the tabernacles that have been on earth. Some are destroyed. Some are closed. I want to visit all the tabernacles in all the places that Jesus was. Why? All the time, which each sacramental host in order to live together with my prisoner of love. There's no time or space with God. And this is what Jesus is teaching us, to echo what Jesus taught Louisa. I want to embrace all the tabernacles and each sacramental host in order to live together with my prisoner, Jesus. And though I thought to myself, what a sacrifice, what a long imprisonment, not of days, but of centuries that Jesus has been in the tabernacles. And Jesus says, my good daughter, having completed my office down here, I departed for heaven and I remained imprisoned inside each sacramental host. But do you know why? Because my love, being my sweet imprisonment, told me the purpose for which you descended from heaven to earth is not fulfilled. Okay, listen. Where is the kingdom of our divine will? It does not exist, nor is it known. So remain in prison in each sacramental host. In this way, there won't be only one Jesus as in your humanity, but as many Jesuses for as many sacramental hosts shall exist. So what's happening is Jesus is showing the purpose for which God descended, the purpose for which you descended from heaven is not yet fulfilled. Okay. Why is Louisa here? It's so that the kingdom can be established. So he says, so you see, by departing from heaven while remaining on earth, my love spread many sacramental hosts, not to be useless down here. With certainty, I shall form the kingdom of my divine will. Nor could I ever have stayed if I knew I was not going to obtain my intent. So Jesus descended from heaven to be on earth in many hosts to what? To get the kingdom ready. But I was not satisfied with remaining a prisoner myself. My love ignited even more, and I chose you, Louisa, to make you, Louisa, a prisoner, and now us. Let's just think of the last couple of years. This isolation that we're going through. Jesus is saying, would you stay with me? I'm doing this on purpose. I need you to be with me. Don't waste the time of complaining. With chains so strong that you cannot escape me, as an outpouring of my love and my company of my imprisonment, to be able to speak to you at length about my divine will is of its yearning and longing, for it wants to reign. God says, I'm talking to you right now. He's speaking to us right now about his divine will, his yearning, his longing that the divine will reign in us on earth as it is in heaven. This prisoner is like a pledge for the whole human race. Louisa, you are, this is another title. Louisa, you are a pledge for the whole human race. So that by right, we must give our kingdom because of you, Louisa, as our pledge to humanity. I can say that each of my sacramental lives is a down payment that I make for all of you, sufficient to secure the kingdom for my children. And then this is another. I want to do a book on Jesus became silent. When Jesus is silent, what he does at that point is he says, I want you to think about what I just said. I, the word of God, have spoken this to you. Now I want you to think of this. So when he is silent, it's time for us to remember what Jesus just spoke. And this is why he's silent. He needs us to meditate on his word that he spoke to Louisa. The truths, the secrets, the manifestations, the knowledges, the promises, the lessons that he has given to Louisa. Jesus became silent, and I thought to myself, by making himself a prisoner, my dear Jesus made an act of heroism so great that only a God could do it. But while he is prisoner, he is also free. More so, since in heaven, he is free and he enjoys the fullness of his freedom. Not only this, but even on earth, how many times does Jesus not come to me without his sacramental veils? And we're going to experience that too. This Jesus coming to us. We begin little by little to hear him with our heart, our mind, our soul. And again, your whole spiritual life is going to change in the divine will. But having imprisoned my poor existence, he has already done it in this time. My daughter, my poor daughter, you were given my same lot. As you say, as your Jesus said, in descending from heaven to earth, I leave and I stay. In the same way, when he ascended into heaven, he said, I stay and I leave. The same words repeats on, upon descending sacramentally into the creatures. I leave and I remain in the tabernacles. In the same way, the creature who lives in my divine will can repeat my same words in all of her acts. As soon as she begins her act, so is her Jesus formed in her act. So what we're learning is how to live in the divine will, how to manifest this gift. This is what Jesus is asking. He's really asking us this. Are you willing to begin to live my life, my mother's life on earth as it is in heaven? Are you willing to begin to live this? No longer your life. He says, not in your human will, but in my divine will. See, this is what God is offering us. It's not about being good and holy and saintly of the saints. That is doing the will of God. But to live in the will of God is to have the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, which the saints have now in heaven, but they didn't have it on earth. And now Jesus says, I want this. May the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. This is what's happening. 5:36, 8:12, 19:38. I was adding my acts in the divine will after having received Holy Communion. And when my sweet Jesus told me how beautiful it is when I descended as sacrament in the heart, and I find the heart in my divine will, I, God, find everything in it. You see what's happening? It's not about just being good and holy and saintly. It's what the priest does when he puts a drop of water into the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. A new beginning for all of humanity. But it's really not new. It's the oldest gift. It was the gift that was given to Adam. Image and likeness. Adam lost it. Jesus comes to earth as the new Adam. Mary comes to earth as the new Eve. Why? To take our place on Calvary. Jesus shed every drop of his blood. Mary was with him on Calvary. And what happens? He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit upon the earth. And he said, for 2,000 years, the Holy Spirit has been teaching, guiding, leading, directing. And now he says, now the kingdom is ready to come. This is a glorious time to be alive. He says, when I descend as sacrament in the heart of the soul, I find in that soul my divine will. I, God, find everything in that soul. I find my mother and queen, and I feel that I receive again all the glory as if I were incarnating myself again. I find all my works surrounding me in that soul, honoring me in that soul, loving me in that soul. And since my divine will circulates as blood and palpitates in all created things, they are united with me as they were limbs originated, as if they were limbs originated from me. Remaining in me, one with Jesus. All created things are my members. See, that's why when in the morning, when you do your prevening act, you want to fuse yourself with our triune God. How? By fusing yourself with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. Why? So you can fuse yourself with all of creation, redemption, and sanctification. It's all yours. Why? So that you can enter into the divine will. Why? Jesus says, so that you can enter the prime act of God. The single act of God, one with God, sharing in divinity. He says, all created things are my members. Therefore, descending in the sacrament, the Holy Eucharist, I, God, bring created things with me as my own members together with enchanting scenes of my love, so diverse and various, that I place them inside the creature, the soul, like an army, to love her and to be loved by her, divinely loved by her, because it's Jesus in us. It's the divine will in us. It's not human love. Human love is fickle. Divine love. This is why we were created. We were created to participate in divine love. Human love is fleeting. It's not how we were not made to have human love. We were made to possess divine love. 5:36, 8:21, 19:38. The human will gives us many veils in which we form many of our lives. Okay. Now, this is important. Jesus said, I want each of my children to become my divine masterpiece. Okay. as like, let's just think of a canvas that is stretched and painted white. Jesus says, I am the artist. I am the master of this work of art that's going to be created. Get out of my way. He says that to Luis a lot. Let me do this. Let me do. That's one interesting group of words when you put that together. I think it's in divinewell.life. When Jesus says, let me do this, I'm going to do this. You can't do this. Remember what Jesus said? He says, who could get to heaven? For humanity, it is impossible. But for divinity, all things are possible. For God, all things are going to happen. And that's why Jesus says, what the saints have done over the years, if they built hospitals and convents and monasteries and chapels and schools and orphanages, Jesus says, I'm going to build for you what I planned from the beginning. That's what's coming upon earth is the New Jerusalem. God has built this. God has done this. We haven't seen anything yet. I mean, you see these beautiful palaces on earth. Nice. But God has done this one. Get out of the way. It's going to be a glorious time when we're going to see amazing things. It's just what a great God we have. So he says in Vine 36, 8:21, the human will gives us many veils in which we form many of our lives. This is the ultimate expression of our love, that we triune God like it so much that provided that the human will gives us its little veil, okay, surrendering our human will, we populate all of its acts with a variety of our divine lives. This is the divine masterpiece that Jesus is going to bring to the earth. He's going to, each and every one of us is going to be his divine masterpiece. Not something good and holy and saintly, but divine. Even that good and holy and saintly is volume 1 through volume 10, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus, which is sanctity. Volume 11 through volume 19 is how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit that no saint has ever received. You look at all the writings of all the saints, it comes close to it. But to enter into living the divine will, Luisa alone. How do I know this? Because that's what Jesus tells Luisa. Read the volumes. It's very clear. And then volume 20 through volume 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. St. Honorable de Francia didn't even receive that while on earth. Why? He died before he read it. What God wants is that he saved everything for us. He has such great plans for his children. He wants us to drown in this infinite ocean of love. And he says, I never want you to leave. I never want you to leave this divine love of God. And so what has he done? He's given to Luisa this book of heaven. And in the book of heaven, you're going to read things that as you read it 100 years from now, you're going to see more things that you've never seen before. As you read it 1,000 years from now, you're going to read things that you've never even comprehended before. He keeps on expanding our capacity to embrace God. God is infinite. We're finite. It's all eternity. He's going to continue to expand our capacity so that we can, I mean, we're going to be, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, in the awe of God for all eternity. The awe of God. for forever. He is so beautiful. He is so holy. He is so perfect. He is so loving. And all he says is, come to me and I'll fill you with everything you want. And beyond that, secrets and treasures that he has never expressed to his angels, he's going to give to us. This is coming. And he has asked us to get ready for this. That's why in 1947, Our Lady said to Bruno, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. I mean, people are doom and gloomers out there. The kingdom is coming. The kingdom is coming. God wins. And all that he's asking of us is, trust me. Why? He says, the final devotion I give to my church before I return, that's what he says to St. Faustina, is, Jesus, I trust in you. I have no worries. I have no fears. I have no anxieties, no complaints, no negativities. I trust in you. You know what's really great about that is, we love our family. We love our families. We love our neighbors. We love our friends. We love our parishioners. Jesus says, do you care about them? You go, yes, Lord. He goes, live in the divine will for them. I'll take care of everything else. He says to Louisa, you do what I want and I'll do what you want. That's a promise of Jesus. I believe that. You can be a doomer gloomer, screaming and being afraid and fearful and terrified. Or you can say, Jesus, I trust in you. I have confidence in you. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my Master. You're my King. You're my all. I trust you. That's what Jesus is waiting for. And this is why he wants us to get ready. He says this. And then my Eucharistic life proves and confirms what I am telling you. I am is speaking to us. Aren't perhaps the accidents of the bread like small veils in which I am consecrated, alive and real in body, blood, soul, and divinity? If there are 1,000 hosts, I, God, form my life in each one of them. If there is one host, only one, I form one life. But what does the host give me? Nothing. Not one I love you. Not a breath, not a heartbeat, not a single step to accompany me. I am lonely. And many times this loneliness oppresses me, embitters me, and I burst into tears. How heavy it is for me not to have one to whom I can say a word. So here Jesus is saying what he has given to Louisa, the one who he has spoken to. She put everything down on paper for us to hear it, to study it, to put it into practice. I am in the nightmare of a deep silence. See, with the divine will, there's no more silence. It's an I love you with every heartbeat. It's an I love you with every breath. It's an I love you with every gaze. It's an I love you with every step. See, we're learning how to live paradise, the paradise that Adam lost. We're learning how to live the divine will that Adam gave up. We're learning how to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Every step was an I love you. Every heartbeat was an I love you. Every breath was an I love you. There's no more silence. What can the host give to me? The hiding place in which to hide myself, the tiny little prison to make me God, I would almost say to make me God unhappy. He says, I give you the Eucharist so that you can love me, so that I can hear your I love you. And this is the reason why we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. If all you can say with every heartbeat is, I love you, I love you, I love you. With every breath, I love you, I love you, I love you. Jesus says, is everything to me. Jesus says he goes in ecstasy when he sees a soul loving him. Yet the churches are empty. But since it is my divine will that wants me to remain in each sacramental host, and my divine will never brings unhappiness, neither to us or to the creature who lives in it, it makes flow in my sacramental life. Our celestial joys are inseparable from us, triune God. Our celestial joys. Remember, Jesus says, I give you my joy so that your joy will be complete. That's the divine will. As you read the divine will, worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and even sin starts to disappear. Why? Because Jesus is there. You can't be unhappy if Jesus is there. You can't be sad if Jesus is there. And if Jesus is speaking to you, which he does when you read this book, he's speaking to you. He's expanding your capacity to embrace God even more. If Jesus is with you, how happy we are. This is from our side, but the host never gives me anything. It doesn't defend me. It doesn't love me. Now, if I form many lives in the host that give me nothing, listen to what Jesus says. How much more would I form them to those who live in my divine will? So what Jesus is asking of us is he's asking, are you learning how to love me more? If you're reading the book of heaven, it's there. If you're reading every day, he's expanding your capacity to understand him and love him even more. I love the saints. I love reading about the saints, but they can't compare to what Jesus says to Louisa. What Jesus says to Louisa, this isn't the saints. Well, in my prayer, you know, this is my reflection and this is what I think God was showing to me. The book of heaven is Jesus speaking, Louisa writing everything down, and it's for us. It's not her meditations. It's Jesus saying, this is how I'm going to teach you. This is how I'm going to lead you. This is how I'm going to guide you. This is going to show you the way and how the kingdom of God is going to come on earth as it is in heaven. This is the glorious, most glorious time to be alive. Use this time wisely. For most of us, we've got a short period of time. God is saying to us, get ready. You know, use the time that I've given you. Don't waste it. You know, don't waste it on human things. He says, use it for divine realities. Use it for a divine understanding. Be that drop of water into the chalice filled with wine. Share in the divinity of Christ. And Jesus shows us how and why this will happen. So he says this, the difference between my sacramental lives and the many lives I, Jesus, form in the soul who lives in my divine will is incalculable. It is greater than the difference between heaven and earth, greater than heaven and earth. It is the difference. It is primarily that we are never alone. We have company is the greatest joy that delights both the divine and the human life. God is so happy when we spend time with him. Make that part of your Lent. If you can be with our Eucharistic Lord for 40 days, your whole life will change. If you pray with a desire to live in his divine will, as you read the book of heaven, heaven is on earth. That's why he says, we are never alone. We have company of the greatest joy. It delights both divine and human. God loves us very much. He's got great plans. So we'll end with a blessing. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you.